I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part B? Well, Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy for many plans, including UnitedHealthcare, which means lower copays for you. Together, Walgreens and UnitedHealthcare make saving on Medicare Part D quick and easy. So bring your prescriptions to your nearest Walgreens pharmacy and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Thank you once again for joining us for the most delicious hour on radio. It is an honor and a privilege to come to you every Saturday at 5 o'clock. And when the lead-in announcer said, broadcasting live from another happy hour, I got to tell you, this isn't just another happy hour. Nay, people have called it Tucson's most sophisticated happy hour. And where else can that be but Maynard's Market and Kitchen at 400 North Toole. Anchoring the historic east end of downtown Tucson. Happy Hour is here in all of its just grandiosity. We've got all kinds of great things happening, both on the culinary and cocktail side. Deep discounts. The party is just getting started. Come out here downtown and say hi to us at Maynard's Market and Kitchen for the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. Now, speaking of hot, fellow foodies, our next guest is one of the hottest wine guys on the scene. In fact, wherever he goes, he makes news, and all I do is follow, because he's all about breaking news on the wine side of things. He's from our good friends at Breakthrough Beverage. Put your hands together for our very good friend, Mr. Greg Shepherd. Greg, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. That introduction was fantastic. Way more than I deserve.
Well, you know, every time I come to Maynard's, I just get all, you know, ramped up. I mean, I just love, this is the home of the Iron Chef of Tucson, Brian Smith. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later on. It takes a lot to be able to get to be crowned Iron Chef. We're so excited. But what's going on with you these days? It's been about a year since you've been on the show.
Yeah, we were at Culinary Dropout about exactly 1 year ago.
I can't believe that's been a year.
I know. We see each other at all the wine events drinking together. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Well, anyway, before we find out what's been making news on your side, let us raise our glasses high. In fact, what a great coincidence, Greg Shepherd. Because we're drinking a bourbon barrel-aged Zinfandel from 1,000 Stories Wines out in magnificent Mendocino County. And we're actually going to be talking to the winemaker a little bit later on in the show. But this is a great glass to commence our broadcast.
It is. You said you're excited about the Iron Chef, but I think you're excited about there being twice as much booze on this table as there usually is, Matt. That's the real excitement.
Whatever, Greg Shepherd is on the show, he always makes it a party. But anyway, what's been making news on your palate these days on the local food and beverage scene?
You know, with the holidays coming in, Matt, we got so many fun events here in Tucson. The weather's cooling down. The people are coming back to town. And with that, we got some great wine dinners planned upcoming. We're actually going to fly from the Hudson House in Napa Valley. The head chef for Behringer, Jacob Benavidez, is going to be flying out. We're going to do on November 5th. At the Omni Tucson National at Bob's Chop House,
Bob's,
we're going to have a special
chop,
dinner.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. And then if you can't make it on the Monday, November 5th, we're going to be doing the same dinner, but collaborating with Ryan Clark out at Casino del Sol, a former
three-time Iron Chef.
Yep.
Yes.
So we'll be out at the PY Steakhouse at Casino del Sol on November 8th, doing another winemaker dinner with the Behringer Chef then.
So this is what you do. I mean, you actually get to sit down and curate the kinds of wine experiences that you want local culinary enthusiasts to have, get together with your accounts and kind of dream up of what we can do. And, you know, you're not talking about low-level talent here. Did you say that you're flying out the chef from Behringer to be part of this Bob's Steak and Chop House event?
We are. We're lucky enough to get that guy out here.
Crazy.
Absolutely. Hopefully it's some fantastic food. I can't imagine it wouldn't be.
Well, you know, that's Executive Chef Jonathan Stutzman there at the Omni.
Oh, he's fantastic.
We should give kudos where kudos is due. I've been that guy since the day I met him. So 'tis the season for wine events. Actually, Grapes to Glass is another event that's happening here at Maynard's. We're going to be talking about that event a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, food and wine pairings, food and wine dinners, that's what makes the world go around.
all through the holiday season. You know, an event that we see each other at almost every year up at Hacienda del Sol, Argentina Heart and Soul is coming also on November 11th. Hope to see you up there then.
November 11th is Argentina Heart and Soul up at the Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch Resort. Of course, you can't mention Hacienda without mentioning our good friend John Kulikowski.
One of the best wine directors in town.
Director of Wine and Spirits there. So you mentioned holidays. You know, we're talking about Thanksgiving is just right around the corner. Then we're looking at Christmas, and then, you know, we're going to be surrounded by celebration and spirits. I want to know, what is Greg Shepherd's picks when it comes to the holiday at the center of the glass?
What's going to be on the Thanksgiving table
this
year?
What is going to be on your Thanksgiving table this year?
You know, a lot of great wines for Thanksgiving, a lot of classic choices. I think that this is the year of rosé, Matt. It's becoming more popular everywhere. There's not a better meal to have with rosé than turkey and Thanksgiving.
And my wife, Nancy, there is nodding in great and enthusiastic affirmation.
Absolutely.
For your pick. Now, aren't you loving where rosé has come over the last several years? I mean, it seems like we're in a rosé renaissance of sorts.
We are. You know, a few years ago in my wine portfolio, we maybe had five or six rosés. Today, we have 100. The popularity of rosé has just skyrocketed. And, you know, rosé has always been popular in Europe. We're just catching up over here, and I'm happy for it.
And you say rosé is a wine that actually plays well with food, then?
Absolutely. Rosé, because, you know, turkey is a lighter fare. Some of the bigger red wines are harder to pair with that. We want to go for something that's a little more middle of the road. That's why rosé is perfect.
Okay, put a rosé at the center of your table on Thanksgiving if you're not making reservations to dine out locally. What else is going to be on the Shepherd family Thanksgiving table?
You know, the other wine, if I could only drink one wine for the rest of my life, Matt.
Oh, no.
It'd be sparkling wine.
Yes!
It'd be sparkling wine. I won't narrow it down that much, but the holidays, be it New Year's, bringing it to holiday parties, we got to talk about some great sparkling wine.
Beautiful. Okay, so rosé, sparkling, that is the celebration in the Shepherd household. We're talking to Greg Shepherd from Breakthrough Beverage. He is our celebrity co-host for the full hour. We are actually here celebrating happy hour. As I said, Tucson's most sophisticated happy hour, as I've been told by many people whose palates I hold in high regard. And we're actually surrounded by great cocktails. Look, we've got a red sangria. That has been brought out for us to try. We've got an Uma Rosa, which, speaking of sparklers, sir, is kind of this champagne-driven cocktail. You like a little sparkling in your cocktails?
You know, I was about to say, if you have a bottle of sparkling, why not make some cocktails with it?
All right, well, cheers. This is how they do it at Maynard's Market. Let's do this. Beautiful balance, beautiful fruit. You know, still perfect in the season to enjoy these kind of refreshing cocktails. That's what you do at Maynard's.
Yeah, this guy with the cucumber, it's a really nice transition from summer to fall. I feel like it has both those elements.
Exactly, and we are also experiencing some fall arancini. I'm actually going to be going to Italy next fall, and I am going to be in hot pursuit. The moment my feet hit Sicilian soil, I'm going to... Arancini is the Sicilian street food, and they do it great here for happy hour. We're also looking at a wonderful panisse. And again, these are the kinds of things, when just Chef Brian Smith is in the house, these are the kinds of things. Happy hour is not just about mozzarella cheese in a red plastic basket with a liner. You have to think a little bit more sophisticated to appreciate the happy hour spirit,
I can
right?
take my beer out of the brown bag. Here.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, as we tease, winemaker Bob Blue from 1,000 Stories in Mendocino County is on with this show just on the other side of this break. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
When it comes to rustic cuisine, there's a promise and a purity that rustic stands for. And One Foothills Restaurant is putting rustic right at the center of the plate. Commoner & Co. Executive Chef Kyle Nottingham says rustic is about those dishes that take you back to a moment in time, a special place, a memory in the making, all what he calls pivotal parts of the dining experience. And Kyle's new seasonal menu is a true rustic reward, like his Southwest-inspired mac and cheese with local chorizo, house-made pasta, and a five-cheese bechamel, and his pan-seared rainbow trout with couscous and a blistered grape and herb salad. His New York strip has also become a quick hit with its fresh tomatillo salsa, as well as his shrimp gazpacho with cucumber, melon, and summer peppers. Commoner's new cocktail menu is also a celebration of the season with fresh, floral, and fragrant expressions of the spirits that we all love. Taste some summer today at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro. Voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
To On the Menu Live, and this is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Happy Hour at Maynard's Market and Kitchen, 400 North Tool, again anchoring the historic east end of downtown Tucson, having a great happy hour with our good friend from Breakthrough Beverage, Greg Shepherd, enjoying some great wines, some great snacks,
just
great happy hour.
Some bottles of the thousand stories we're going to talk about here. Great glass of wine.
I tell you what, you know, when you're thinking about small batch, Greg, our minds kind of turn to beer and whiskey first, but the winemaker Bob Blue, he creates 25 distinct batches in the same vintage, kind of offering several different notes and variations from flavor. My mind was blown when I first heard about that, and I said, look, we got to have this guy on. And here he is from magnificent Mendocino County, the winemaker from 1,000 Stories Wines, Mr. Bob Blue. Bob, how are you? Bob, are you with us?
I am.
There he is. All right, I'll tell you what, Bob, thank you so much for calling in. It's always nice to chat with our friends from beautiful Hopland, California. And I heard about this small batch creativity, this artistry that you put together. Now, of course, we've been enjoying Thousand Stories barrel-aged, bourbon barrel-aged Zinfandels for the last couple of years. But what I heard that you are actually going into your libation laboratory, as it were, and you are creating different expressions, different experiences from the same vintage. My mind was blown. Where did this whole idea come from?
Well, I think we see it, really from the brewing business, really, all these different batches and unusual beers. And so, that in wine, we just tend to make one wine. It's the wine of the vintage and that's it. And so I had some experience years ago working with some bourbon barrels. This is like 30 years ago. And just this idea kind of opened up to look at it in the world of wine. So, we're actually making, each batch a little bit different than the one before and tasting and putting together really fun wines.
So when you're thinking about a particular vintage, so Bob, today we are enjoying the 2016 Bourbon Barrel Aged Zinfandel, of course, from 1,000 Stories Wines. We are enjoying batch number 45. Now, how many batches are there in this entire spectrum of expressions that are coming out of the same vintage?
So there's, I think about that. It's probably this year, it's going to be about 20.
20?
Somewhere around 20. So, yeah.
What are the kinds of subtleties and nuances that are changing from batch to batch? I mean, and let me just say, the next time you do some R&D, Greg Shepherd from Breakthrough Beverage and myself would love to come out to Mendocino County to help you taste through your portfolio of batches. But what kind of differences in expressions are we getting from the wood and the aging from one batch to another, again, out of that same vintage?
Well, we're always, I work for the broker, and I'm always getting old barrels from, distilleries. And so, and they're different age barrels. Some of them, I've been told by the broker, are 13-year-old barrels. Some of them are 7 and 9. And then we've been using some of the barrels over again. So we use them for about 2 months, and then we refill them. So we always have this array of barrels. And so I think it's the same with when you're making whiskey, you're looking at different qualities from different barrels to make your ultimate blend. It's sort of the same idea. So we'll have wines going into different kinds of barrels, different ages, and then it's really a matter of us tasting and deciding what we're going to put together. So, and so each barrel, each wine that goes in is a different experience. So then we kind of craft it all together. So, it's pretty different. It's pretty amazing because, you know, it's sort of embracing the idea that, you know, each batch can be different from the one before. Where in winemaking, traditionally, it's really trying to make the same, you know, your certain style of wine and really
right.
be consistent. And so it opens up different possibilities.
Hey, Bob, this is Greg. I've been fortunate enough to represent your wines out in the market here in Arizona for the past few years. And I feel like, you know, Thousand Stories was the first bourbon barrel-aged wine to really be on the market. You guys kind of made the category. Talk about maybe your aging versus some of the other aging of the, you know, the other bourbon barrel wines out there. I feel like your guys are a lot more balanced. I feel I get too much bourbon barrel from some of the other guys out there. What do you think about the craze
yeah,
of the bourbon barrels?
Yeah, we were the first. Yes, we were the first to do it in the U.S. And I think for us, what was really important was that first off, you have a great wine experience, but now you get to have the nuance of the bourbon barrel. So, you know, we experimented early on, and these old bourbon barrels can completely overwhelm a wine. I mean, bourbon is very intense.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And so for us, it was more, you know, we wanted to have a really good, you know, really enjoy a rich Zinfandel and then get that little experience with the sort of the dried spices and a little bit of the vanilla, but not dominate the wine. So you can have, you know, another glass, enjoy it with a meal or have
yes.
it after dinner. I think that's the thing, not have it be so dramatic that you go, one glass, that's good. So that's really has been our emphasis early on. We get great reviews on the wine. So, you know, that's what we wanted to.
Yeah, I definitely think the subtlety comes through with your wines. I opened up another bottle here for Matt. We just poured a glass. And I know it's the one that is a little bit maybe less distributed, but we have a glass of the Carignan right now.
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Carignan's, somewhat related to Zin in that it's got these really fruit components, but it's less spice and more blue sort of fruits. And so I made this with my son. And so it's he's with the Wine Institute. And so he's now in the business. And so it was a lot of fun. We could, you know, we made the wine from a couple of old vineyards, and then we just blended it together. So we had the experience of you know, having these different components in different bourbon barrels and putting it together. So it was a lot of fun.
Now, Bob Blue, you know, our listeners are going to want to know, if we wanted to channel our own inner Bob Blue, if we wanted to be Bob Blue for like a Saturday night, what is the one vintage and one batch number in that entire spectrum of batches that you believe, Bob, represents who you are, body, mind, soul, spirit? If I wanted to be Bob Blue for a day, what batch am I drinking, man?
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. I love the 15 vintage, you know, it's very spicy, and I'm trying to remember, it would probably be something like 27, right in there.
Yeah, Greg Shepherd is taking notes. Okay, the 2015 vintage, batch number 27, Greg is going to be ordering pallets full.
Are we legally allowed to ask which barrels that used? I know you don't say until after the wine has come to market, but
which
bourbon
which
barrels were
used?
In that? Yeah, do you remember?
I really can't say per se, you know, because
yes.
we're getting a lot of different old bourbon barrels. So
yeah, that's totally fine. Listen, Bob Blue, from 1,000 Stories, I wish we had time to tell all 1,000 stories. We're making just a little bit of a start, but I want to have you back on the show to continue to tell this story, because in the world of wine, I think it's one of the most fascinating things happening. Bob Blue is a pioneer in the winemaking craft, and he has manifest his imagination and his creativity for all to enjoy from 1,000 Stories. Bob Blue, thank you so much. Congratulations to you and your entire team. Happy holidays as we begin to approach the season of celebration. And I tell you what, man, we're going to be drinking a lot of your wines this season.
All right, great. Thanks, Matt and Greg.
Thanks so much. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thanks to more sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to keep the wine conversation with level two, not one, Greg Shepherd. Level two sommelier Will Ohlendorf here from Maynard's. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, summer is in full swing, which means that I'm in my pool day and night. And with all the entertaining I do, I can't afford to have a pool that doesn't sparkle. And that's why I've put my trust in Ambiance Pool Service. Locally owned and operated, Ambiance will keep your pool operating efficiently and effectively all the time. But there's so much more than weekly cleaning service. Their licensed technicians are my go-to team for equipment installation and repairs as well. In fact, they just installed a cool LED lighting system for me that keeps my pool parties going deep into the night. Put an end to that constant battle over contaminants once and for all and call Ambiance Pool Service today. 425-9186. That's 425-9186. Or swim over to AmbiancePoolService.com to learn more. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the Wild Mushroom and Sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at AlfonsoOliveOil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
A little bit of a technical difficulty, but we made it all, we fixed it all because Greg Shepherd is in the house.
You know what, I'm really sorry that I knocked over that bottle of wine and short-circuited everything, Matt. I hope you have me back. I promise I'll mind hands from here.
I mean, a thousand stories, Zinfandel cascading across the Comrex broadcast technology. But anyway, we are back here from Maynard's. Thanks for sticking with us. And when we're thinking about coming to Maynard's, we know that Grapes to Glass, the fourth annual event, is coming up very, very soon. And here to tell us about it is not level one sommelier, but level two sommelier. He is the pride of Shelby Township, Michigan, and the sommelier here at Maynard's, Mr. Will Ohlendorf. Will, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Matt. Thank you.
Thanks for sticking around with us. Cheers. Where's your wine craft? Thank you for bringing that craft to Maynard's. This is a big deal for both Maynard's and you, I would imagine.
It is. A little life-changing for me, moving across from Michigan to Arizona to the heat. But what I'm what I'm not in is 40-mile-an-hour winds and sideways hail.
That's right. Yeah, I can almost guarantee you, Will, that you will experience neither here in lovely southern Arizona. But anyway, Grapes to Glass is this wonderful celebration of the Arizona wine and art story. And I don't have to tell you, sir, we are surrounded by a bounty of very hardworking men and women in the Arizona wine scene. And Grapes to Glass is your annual celebration for all of these folks. What's going on that day?
It is. We keep finding more. I mean, this year we got about 12 people coming. You know, there's like Callahan Wines, Carlson Creek, Dos Cabezas, Flying Leap, Golden Rule, Merkin Vineyards. Don't read into that too much. It's sketchily the guy that is the lead singer, I think it is, for Tool.
For
the
Tool,
band.
Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Pillsbury, Rune, and our favorite, probably, because he makes our wine, is Sand Reckoner, Rob Hamelman there. He does a great job with our grapes, and we have our fourth edition of Red coming out.
Okay, so you guys are still partnering with Sand Reckoner here at Maynard's, doing a kind of a special blend of their juice down there, and we're drinking a little bit of Maynard's Red right now. What do you love about this? The 2015, straight out of the heart of Wilcox.
It is. They do a great job down there, and what I didn't realize, it's really kind of like central Spain. You know, it's called the Wilcox Bench down there, and it rides about 4,300 feet. I think it helps with for sommeliers out there listening. It's a diurnal shift.
Listen to him, Greg Shepherd.
I know. I hate to say it, but somebody's listening that cares. That's hot during the day and cooler at night. Kind of lets the grapes rest and makes this beautiful wine for us. This vintage is a Tempranillo, Syrah, and Graciano blend.
Beautiful.
But the fourth one, I was down there, got to climb around the barrels with Rob down at his winery in Wilcox, and we picked, I think it was, there's Zinfandel, Primitivo, and Sangiovese.
Beautiful, beautiful. Just hitting it on all cylinders. But the big day is coming up on, I believe, October the 28th.
It is.
From Grapes to Glass. I love this event because, as I said, it's a celebration of the Arizona wine scene. But what I love about kind of the surrounding is there's an art expression. People can come and do some shopping as well. And the way you have kind of set up outside on the courtyard, if you're a wine enthusiast, you love local Arizona wine, and you want to do some shopping for the holidays, this is the place to be.
It is. It's local, 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 everything. So the wines, and then these stores too. I mean, this Creative Juice Bar. You can come in and have custom designed wine glasses. There's a 4th Avenue Street here in town. That's a favorite store. Popsicle will be here with great products from some of Tucson's favorite artists as well. Phoenix Fashion Week winner, Cumulative, it looks like, with a little spelling play there. Well, they'll be here, too, their Arizona-shaped pocket tees. Some good stuff for out there. So you drink some wine, do a little shopping.
So how does this happen? So you get your tickets, you come out to the courtyard. Do all the wineries have kind of booths or tables, and you get your glass, and you kind of work your way around, or how does that work?
Yeah, we've got these cool custom glasses with a little yoke put around your neck, kind of help you carry it, get you through the day.
Maynard's,
anyway.
Let me call out Maynard's, the pioneering position of Maynard's in the event community. Maynard's was the first one to actually bring out a yoke. Which actually gives you the opportunity to wear your wine as you go out, because you don't want to tie up both of your hands.
No.
You actually put the glass in this little necklace, as it were.
I've seen those, Matt. I actually use the necklace for one glass, and I hold one glass in each hand as well. For three, you can have you can do a vertical all right there without moving.
So you you work your way around, and
you
actually get to meet. And sometimes these wineries are represented by the winemakers themselves. You know, you mentioned Callaghan Wines. Whenever I see Ken Callaghan, his fingers are literally purple. And this is harvest season. I can guarantee you, if Ken's going to be here for that event, you want to shake his hands because some of that grape is going to come right off.
Yeah, he's been doing this a long time. I mean, Rob Hamelman should be here. I mean, we do have a new winery that's new to me, a Flying Leap that's coming. This should be really interesting, too. But hopefully a lot of these winemakers do get here. If not, most will be represented by somebody from there as well. So it would be nice for everybody to walk around and talk to him.
The weather is always perfect. It's this great urban vibe.
Yeah.
Where you're just enjoying some great Arizona wines, doing some shopping from local artisans. Always a lot of fun. Now, I see the tickets are $30.
Yeah.
Clearly that's a misprint. Clearly
there's
a number or a digit missing from that.
Man, we just want people to drink. We can't be charging them a lot of money. So they pay the $30. They got 3 hours that they come and we open, and they get a couple ounces from each person. There's 12 wineries. There's going to be 24 wines represented. It's a really good deal.
Is there a particular strategy that you would recommend to our listeners who want to actually come? When you have 3 hours of dedicated time and you want to work your way around Sonoyta Elgin, you want to kind of sneak out to Wilcox, you want to head up to the Verde Valley, is there a strategy that you would say, this is how to approach this particular event?
I'd start at the front, work your way to the back, Matt. It's really that simple.
Will Ollendorf from Maynard's Bargain Kitchen. How can people get tickets? Because, again, this is one of those events that, you know, sadly sells out very quickly. And people always call me and say, oh, if I only knew. How can people get tickets now, Will?
Well, they go to our website. So there's hotelcongress.com, also Maynard's Market Tucson. There'll be a link there available to get you in to buy the tickets. And I would suggest doing it soon. It's a big, crowded event. Who knows if it sells out.
Website address one more time.
MaynardsMarketTucson.com or Hotel Congress will get you there.
Couldn't make it any easier, Greg Shepard.
That's right.
You're going to be drinking some wine with me on October the 28th?
Drinking some local Arizona wine?
Exactly. October 28th from 3 to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Only $30. Go to the website and get your tickets. Will Ollendorf, thanks so much for you.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
When's level 3 for you, brother?
Oh, God. I'm trying to feed my 6 and 2-year-old right now, Matt, but no excuses. My mentor passed with 5 daughters, so.
That's right. Anyway, well, thanks so much for hanging out.
Thank you.
Really good to talk to you. And what a great segue. You know what? I'm going to tell Sam back in the studio, we're not going to do another commercial because, there is hardly enough time as it is, because when the Iron Chef of Tucson sits down and graces us. Now he's blushing, see? When he graces us with his presence, it is a very big deal to go up against the reigning Iron Chef of Tucson, Travis Peters from the Parish. For Brian Smith, in all of his artistry and his creativities and imagination and his skill and his aplomb and his sophistication, for him to walk away with that hardware and bring it home, I love this guy. I've been following his career since he got his start. Ladies and gentlemen, the reigning Iron Chef of Tucson, Mr. Brian Smith. Brian, I'm not worthy.
Thank you, Matt.
You.
Thank you, Matt.
How you doing? Let's turn Brian
doing
up
good.
A little bit.
Doing great.
So last time you were on the show, I think it was like literally days after you won Iron Chef, and I'm sure your head was kind of still in the clouds. You were sort of thinking, what just happened to me? But now you're a few months into your tenure as Iron Chef. Has this kind of sunk in yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely sunk in. One of those things are kind of just back to the grind, back to developing new dishes, back to getting things done. So, I mean, it's one of those things I haven't forgotten about it necessarily, but there's lots of other things happening. So just trying to keep the ball moving, looking forward to next year for sure.
Yeah, to defend your title.
Yeah, that's right.
When he was on the show a few months ago, Greg, you know, I asked him about preparation. I mean, how do you prepare psychologically to go up and perform on stage in front of 1,000 people? And he said, you know, we had a lot of events that week, you know, and I couldn't, like, take time off. So I had to, like, kill it in the back of the house and then, like, the night before, I sat down and I kind of crammed and I figured out whatever the secret ingredient is going to be, who knows, he's going to do four or five courses?
Four courses
each with the secret ingredient, and the secret ingredient was?
Pork belly.
How can you go wrong?
Sounds like a great secret ingredient. I feel like the preparation you did is the same preparation. You're like, oh my gosh, tomorrow I have to serve 100 people dinner. What am I going to do? It's like the same, back to the grind, just
yeah,
like you said.
Exactly. Yeah. Just another day at the office for Brian Smith.
Right,
Iron
exactly.
Chef Brian Smith. Anyway, we are here at fall. I mean, when you think about the spectrum of seasons, at the center of the plate, I think fall is my favorite season. Because we've been kind of keeping it light and fresh and vibrant during the summer season, but when we move into the fall, into the cooler climes, that actually transports our palates to a different place, which I think inspires different flavors, different ingredients, different traditions. How are you celebrating fall at the center of the plate here?
Oh, yeah. So I think just like you, fall is by far my favorite time of the year. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. We just changed our menu actually on Thursday. So I got a couple dishes out in front of you here to taste, but we're doing a lot of local stuff, trying to do as much local as possible when we're not doing local, just seasonal produce. Seasonal products, seasonal flavors, then just really just doing the best we can to feed people delicious food.
Well, you know, we're about to dive into the deliciousness, the aforementioned deliciousness, but when you're thinking about what fall looks like, what it smells like, the kind of appreciation for the bounty, the harvest that is this season, where do you go flavor-wise? I mean, what are the kinds of ingredients that you really kind of pursue this time of year that you want to kind of showcase here on the new menu?
Well, you know, I like to, you know, a lot of the basic kind of flavors or most noted fall flavors, you know, a lot of butternut squash.
Right.
Using some sweet potatoes, all local stuff from Eric from Pivot Produce.
Oh, right on.
Using some pork belly. We've got some tippery beans. It's like a barbecue tippery bean kind of thing. So it's kind of fall. I love baked beans in the fall.
Yes.
I know everybody likes them in the summertime. I'm more like a baked bean fan in the fall.
Baked beans has no season.
No, I guess it doesn't. Yeah. You know, and sage, you know, the brown butter flavors. Man, we're doing like a Ras Hanout on our foie gras dish, which is like a Moroccan spice from South Africa, or from Africa. It's really crazy. It's got like 15 different spices in it.
Foie gras.
On our foie gras.
That was a lot of words,
did
man.
You know that Will Ohlendorf said
diurnal shift
in an interview that if he was facing his last meal, if he knew that his very last meal was going to be X before he breathed his last breath, he said, give me an entire lobe of foie gras with a Grand Cru white burgundy and call it a day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go out well, I say.
I don't think you can't go wrong with that.
Nope.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so you brought out some things for us to kind of feast on. This is a manifestation of how Brian Smith, nay, Iron Chef Brian Smith, celebrates fall. What do we got going on here, man?
So starting up here, this is our roasted pork belly. So it's brined for 24 hours, and then we roast it nice and slow, served over some Swiss chard, some barbecued tepary beans, and some bread and butter cauliflower and some smoked breadcrumbs.
Okay, so that is a tower I mean, just look at the way that that's plated. It stands proudly as a symbol of the season, doesn't it not, Greg Shepherd?
Absolutely. I was saying all these dishes that are in front of us, you know, I wish radio had videos sometimes because it's like the Iron Chef rolled out his own red carpet of dishes to walk down to come present to us. These look fantastic.
Well, all of these photos are going to be up on our all of our social media properties, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and everything else, and probably Google Plus when someone tells me what Google Plus is, or Snapchat, and I got to ask my daughter what that means. But anyway, all of these are going to be here. So is this a good place to start the tasting?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's
do
it. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do this. So you've got a beautiful crust right on top of that. You've got a – oh, my gosh, you've rendered the fat there beautifully. That's just pulling right apart. Again, these beautiful beans. All right, what are we going to experience with this first bite? What's the magic that's happening?
You know, it's kind of the fattiness from the pork belly. I don't know if you got some of those beans, but they've got like a fair amount of like smoky acidity. We got some bacon and some more braised pork in there with some barbecue sauce and a whole lot of stuff.
There is so much flavor in that. My God.
That is fall.
Yeah.
That is the season. Where are you going wine-wise with this, Greg Shepherd? When you're thinking about the symphony of flavors going on in this bowl, where are you going? What's your recommendation?
You know, I'm going to have to bounce this one off Will next to me. But this is a rich dish with a lot of smoke. It's funny, we've been talking about the Maynard's Red today. This guy has a lot of high acid. I think this could pair up with the fattiness. It'd be a perfect thing. Or, funny enough, that little bit of rustic Carignan we had from Thousand Stories. Either of the two of wines we had today earlier would be a great pairing with this dish.
What about a Thousand, Will Ohlendorf?
He is. I didn't have to say anything. It's hard for me to do.
I like agreement. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Going right from this stellar dish. Where are we going now, Chef?
So this is our butternut toast. So we got a little barrio bread, some fresh ricotta cheese, some butternut squash, some pecans, caramelized onions, and then a little chiltepín honey on the top of it.
It would almost be pedestrian for Brian Smith to do avocado toast, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be a little bit expected for the chef to not. You've actually taken this kind of tradition, a tradition that's been around for maybe, you know, 3.5 months of avocado. You're actually saying, look, let's celebrate the season. Bring squash into this, what we know about a toast as a platform for a dish, and you're really dressing this up beautifully.
Yeah. I think it's a nice flavor combination. The textures are really nice, and I think it really is kind of like a good representation of fall.
Where are you getting your squash, buddy?
Getting it from Eric from Pivot.
Yeah,
I think maybe Avalon Garden or Crooked Sky Farm, one of the two. Yeah, right. one of the two.
Your commitment to local, not just on the wine side with Grapes to Glass, but here locally, you got Don Garris Barrio Bread.
Yep.
You got Eric from Pivot Produce. I've got a mouthful, so I'm going to ask Greg to talk because I can't talk and eat at the same time. I got some microgreens.
I'm loving seeing you do it, though. You're a true talent to be to do both at the same time.
Count us down on these last two dishes because we're looking about hitting up the rest of the show.
Yeah,
here.
So this is our ricotta and gnocchi, so house-made ricotta and gnocchi. We've got some oyster mushroom in there, some sage. A little mushroom, the confit tomato and arugula. And then this is our scallop dish. So it's a black garlic and walnut puree, pan-seared scallop, some sweetbreads, roasted cauliflower, and mint.
Okay, gorgeous dishes. This is Iron Chef Brian Smith. I know you wanted to say something, Greg.
Oh, I was tasting all three dishes. The richness of the flavor in these two really sings through fall. You know, summer we try to stay a little lighter, but fall is here at Maynard's downtown.
Fall is here at Maynard's, and it's not going anywhere because Chef Brian Smith is not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, he says, look, I got to get back to work. I can talk with you guys for the next hour or so, but I
got
to get back to work.
I got a
full house. Iron Chef Brian Smith, thank you so much for everything you do.
Will Ohlendorf,
here at Maynard's, and Greg Shepherd from Breakthrough Beverage Company, thank you so much for hanging out with us, celebrating fall. Let's do it again soon.
All right.
If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Greg Shepherd reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's on the menu live. Cheers, fellow foodies. Come on down and join us at Maynard's.